Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. You know what? It is great to see everybody's lovely smiling faces out here this morning. And man, you did go quick. That was awesome. That was 3 minutes. Whew! What kind of car did she drive? But anyways, that was awesome. No, it was good. So, no, it is great to see. I know we've been socially distanced and people have been traveling and doing things, and so I think for the most part we've got just about everybody back. There's a couple that are still traveling and visiting another place, I'm sure, but it is good to see everybody here this morning, and it's great just to be here and worship, isn't it? It's we've been struggling, and things are rising, and the virus is getting worse, whatever. We will not be deterred. We're going to be safe. And so we've social distanced. And I know a couple walked in and go, "Where do I sit now?" The pews are all messed up, and, there's hand sanitizer and stuff. So, but you know what? God is good, and God's still on his throne. And one day all this will be over. I predict in November, but whatever. But this morning we're continuing in the series Good News. And this morning, the title of this morning's message is Little. Little. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 31 this morning. But this is also paralleled in Mark chapter 4. But we're going to be reading, we're going to take Matthew's account, and we're going to focus on that one this morning. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31, will be on the screen as well. And again, Jesus is speaking in parables. We've been doing parables for the past couple of weeks. And so basically a parable is just a story with a point. It's a moral story. It's a point that teaches something to the hearer. And the facts of the story are not as important as what it teaches. All right, so all the details and everything don't have to be exactly right. So if you read something and see something in a parable and you're like, "Well, that's not how that works," well, that doesn't really matter. The idea is you get the overall view, but it's the point of the story which is most important. So reading in verse 31, it says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in his branches.' Another parable he spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept in secret from the foundation of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just speak truth to us this morning. God, have us to hear what we need to hear and apply what we need to apply in our lives. Let us leave this place changed this morning in a way that only you can do, Jesus. This is your name we pray. Amen. So we've got the story, the parable of the mustard seed, and when I've taught youth, I've actually gone to the store and bought mustard seed, and you come out, and you pass them out, and if you saw the picture earlier when I said little, you saw it, but if you look here in the little title picture right here, you can see right on the end of a finger, there's this little itty-bitty seed, and that is your mustard seed. It is one of the smallest seeds. And so Jesus is telling this parable of how you take this, you plant it, and it becomes something bigger. But one of the first things I noticed that as we were reading this, Jesus said, it's a kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. And so the first point I want us to understand this morning is a seed is meant to be sown. A seed is meant to be sown. The seed is not there just for us to look at, to put in a jar. It's there for a purpose. You don't buy vegetable seeds, take them, well, I do, but you're not supposed to buy vegetable seeds, take them and leave the packet sitting on the counter in the kitchen, are you? Are you ever going to get a plant out of those seeds? Not unless you're a really bad housekeeper. But, I mean, you guys got to be really dirty. But, I mean, no, you're not going to out of that package of seeds. You've got to take what has been given you. You've got to take that seed. You've got to put it into the soil, into the ground, for it to function, to grow, to become what it is supposed to be. And that is the plant. The scripture is the same way. The gospel is the same way. We are given the gospel and it is meant to be sown. It is not meant for us to just hoard, set on a counter, and hold on to ourselves. We're supposed to take all that God has given to us, use it, and go out and plant it in this world. Now, we've talked about several parables about soil, like what kind of soil are you dealing with? Is it the rocky soil? Is it the hard heart? Is it, you know, the gravel? Is it one covered in weeds? Or is it good soil? And notice the idea is not for us to, in that parable, to judge what kind of soil that we're putting it in. It's just to spread it out, isn't it? We let God do the work on the soil. But then there's soil that we know we're supposed to tend, we're supposed to work it. Once it's there, it's growing. We've talked about that. We talked about how the plants come up and the wheat and the tares, and you've got one that looks like it, and you've got the good stuff, and God doesn't uproot everything just so he doesn't destroy the good, just for the sake of getting rid of the bad. But in every one of these, the seed was sown. It's meant to be. That's what it's there for. Now, obviously, you can take seeds. We all know that there's other purposes for seeds, are there not? You can put them on bread. You can crush them. You like sunflower seeds? Put a little salt on them and eat them, right? But there's always a purpose to the seed, a purpose. Most people don't take seeds and just set them up and go, I love my seed. I'm putting it on a shelf and look at it. Right? I'm sure there's some plant out there that the seed is prettier than the plant. I don't know it. But, you know, the seed is meant to be sown. We have a job to do. We are supposed to sow this. The man took and sowed in his field. The field that was given him, the place where he was, that's where he planted the seed. And see, each of us has a field. We talked about this in the disciples' path, how we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We all have our field that we are in, that we are supposed to be gardening, that we are supposed to be planting in. God has given us that. And it's okay if you're a new believer, or maybe you don't. Maybe God wants you just planting in house pots. There's nothing wrong with that. He still wants you to be planting, doesn't he? Or maybe God has given you the field of, say, a church. Or a community. Maybe it's the job that you work with. People that you run into. Your field can be bigger than some. Not every field is the same size, is it? Even on farmers, farmland. I say I have a farm, but when I talk to a real farmer, they go, no, you don't. We're sitting about 12 acres. Is that a farm? Sure. You can sit on an acre and have a farm, right? Depends on what you do on it. But if you have 500 acres, is it the same kind of farm as my farm? No. It's vastly different. And that's okay. And see, God equips us differently. God puts us in different situations. But what we must always understand, is that whatever seed he has given us, whatever field God has allowed us to have, that is where we need to be planting seed. We need to be sowing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere that he has given us to be. And the second thing I can tell you is this, a little can do a lot. A little can do a lot. I learned this the hard way back when I was dating Jennifer. Now, her family is part Chinese, and so we went to the Chinese restaurant. She already knows what story I'm telling. They still laugh about it today. But I was Mr. Tough Guy. I said, I need something to put on my fried rice. What you got? Well, we got this, we got that. No, I don't want that. So give me the mustard sauce. It was whatever the hot stuff is they got. I think it was the mustard sauce. Give me that. Now that's hot. No problem. My dad used to make hot sauce. I love hot stuff. I used to eat it all the time. Good stuff. Brag, brag, brag. Put it all over my rice. Y'all, Chinese hot stuff is different than my daddy's hot stuff. They've been working on it for thousands of years, and it's hot. I put that fried rice in my mouth with that sauce. You know, if I could have been a cartoon, there would have been smoke coming out of my ears. It was hot. And they're like, are you all right? I'm like, What's that water? I got a pitcher of water. I'm drinking water. You know it was hot if I was drinking water, because I did not drink water by then. And they still laugh. Hey, remember we went to the Chinese restaurant and her dad, he thinks it's funny. But just a little of that went a long way. I did not need as much as I squirted on there. A little bit can do a lot. Now, this doesn't mean we only should do a little. But you do with what you have. You don't have to be a millionaire to support missions financially. You don't have to be a billionaire to support your church financially. You don't have to be a stay-at-home anything to spend time and work with the church. You know what God wants? God wants whatever you got. Remember the story of the widow's mite? She gave what she had. And that was the gift that God loved more than anything. Because she gave out of her nothing what little she had. I've probably told the story here before, but still one of my favorite stories is the offering plate was passed. Person who didn't know anything about church is like, what is that for? Well, that's where you give to God. Well, what do you give? You give whatever you can. Most people give money and everything else like that. So this person didn't have money. But the offering plate got to them. They took the offering plate, set it on the floor, and climbed in. That's all they had was themselves. They were able to give. And that's what God asked for. We're supposed to do whatever we can, as much as we can. But be encouraged, God can do a lot with just a little. Isn't that good news? You don't have to have a 20-year degree and Bible scholarship to go out and share the gospel. You don't even have to have a 6-week degree to go out and share the gospel. God will use whatever you're willing to give him. A little can do a lot. Now, in this case, the mustard seed, what did it do? It grew into a tree. Now, I've always thought tree, like you see a tree out in the yard, like the oak tree out there, a big tree and everything else like that. There's actually two kind of mustard seed things. And according to the parable where it talks about it was better than all the other herbs and stuff like that, we're talking about the garden variety of mustard seed. And this is what it looked like. It's more like a big bush. A big hedge that kind of grows up and you put it all together. That's the tree that it grows into. It's still enough for birds to get in there. Heck, I got weeds that grow up in my yard that birds like to nest in. It's, you know, sorry, it's out by the fence, but that's the truth. Leaven grows. Now, leaven is one of those things that, as we understand this parable, leaven is one of those where, I'm not a bread baker, but you bake bread and you take off part of it, you save that to start your next batch. That's your leaven. Now, at the heart of all bread making is what? Yeast. A living organism that you have to be very careful with. Has anybody ever used yeast? Has anybody ever had yeast get out of control? I read a story of a woman who was making sourdough bread. First time, she was going to double the recipe. So she doubled the starter pack recipe. Wasn't sure, didn't know. Set it down, did everything she was supposed to, set it to the side, and said, well, let me clean up the kitchen a little bit. It took her about 30 minutes to clean up. As she came back over, the jar she had set it in looked like a kid's science fair project. The yeast had growed up and blowed over the side and was running all over the counter and dripping onto the floor. She panicked. She called her mother from the other room. Her mother came in, looked, and started laughing. Left the room to go get a camera to take pictures. That's a good mother for you right there. She goes, oh, well, okay. She got that cleaned up. She's like, whew. All right, I stopped that. She cut it about in half and says, you know what? The problem was I let the jar open. So she took and put a lid on the jar and tried to close the jar. Somebody's laughing already. Then she finished cleaning up everything else. So about an hour later, what happened? That stuff didn't stop growing. That monster is now trying to creep out under the lid and it started to push up and roll out. She panicked. She went to go get the lid. She says, I need to release the... Boom! The lid blew off of that jar. There was sourdough starter kit on the ceiling fan, on the wall, everywhere all over this house. Just a little bit of yeast goes a long way. Just a little bit of leaven goes a long way. And here's a person who took that leaven and put it in enough to get 3 batches out of it. Because it continues to grow. Number 3, a transformation has to take place. You plant that little seed in the ground, what happens? It has to become something else. It germinates, it begins to grow, it splits, it opens, it begins to put out a shoot, and as the shoot grows up, it grows into what we saw earlier. Some plant that produces, a plant that birds can nest in. But if the seed didn't transform, what would happen? Nothing. You just have a seed sitting in the ground. And I've had those before. We've talked about it. That's why when you garden, you don't generally just plant 1 or 2 seeds. You plant several. Because not all of them kick off right, do they? The leaven also becomes something different. It's living. It's growing. As you put it in and you mix it with the other ingredients, what does it then become? Bread. You don't eat leaven by itself, do you? That would be gross. You mix it with other ingredients. And as you multiply that, then you take some, save it to set it again, but then you take that and finish the product, and you get bread. A transformation has to take place in our lives. When we encounter the kingdom of heaven, this is what happens. When the kingdom of God comes, something changes within us. We become something different, something new. Something that has not only been transformed, but something that can transform others. At 4, the outcome is beneficial to others or for others. Think about it. There's the tree that grew up. Now, not only do you have a tree that birds can now live in or animals can hide in. We have bunny rabbits, rabbits. That wasn't manly at all. We have bunny rabbits. We have rabbits at our place. And they love to hide in the bushes. Scare us to death. We're driving down the driveway, and all of a sudden one of them goes, phew! I was cutting the field one night, and one of them was in the corner. I scared him more than he scared me. Maybe. I don't know, but all this, and they're not quite as bad as squirrels. But man, they don't know how to get out of the road. Ding, ding, ding. I mean, you know. But things start to live under the bushes. I know a person who moved to Florida. They were scared to death of snakes. I'm like, it's Florida. There's going to be snakes. You know what this person made their husband do? Take out every bush and plant in the backyard. Why? Because snakes hide in bushes. Right? They don't like to be out in the open. What gets a snake when it's out in the open? Hawks, owls, birds. And wouldn't you die if one just fell out of the sky and dropped on you one day? I would. No, I see Jesus right then. But this person said, I am not taking any chances. They zero escaped their entire yard. Take everything out. But that bush becomes beneficial, but not only does it do that, not only does it house and hide animals of some variety, it produces a spice, mustard, which can be used in food, right? It can flavor food. Now, I'm not into growing mustard. I'm not sure if this is the same one they squish up and make the yellow stuff that you put on hot dogs or not. Maybe it is. If it is, that's good stuff. But it becomes beneficial for others. Leaven eventually becomes bread. You know, you put this stuff in, you mix it, you have to let it rise. You have to let it set. That's why the Lord's Supper is from the Passover feast. What happened? They didn't take time to let their bread rise because they had to be ready to go as soon as Pharaoh said, get. So he didn't let it set and proof and do that. That's why you have the unleavened or the flat bread, which I like personally. I have a daughter to sit there and eat matzah all day long if you let her. I probably would too. It's good stuff. Like saltine crackers, but better. But there's something about a, you know, risen nice loaf of bread. We took my mother-in-law to Outback last night, and boy, they got some good bread when it hits the table, don't they? Whew. Good stuff. I remember as a teenager, we were doing a Easter cantata. I think it was Our Joy Comes in the Morning. Wasn't a ton of guys in the choir. I got to be one of them, so I got to be a disciple. And we did the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know who did it or why they did it, but they bought King's Hawaiian loaf bread, the big, which was not biblical at all, but we loved it. We're like, pass the bread. We take it, this is good stuff. Can we do that again? We didn't quite get it right. We went through rehearsal, man. We tried to do it like six times because that bread was good. But there's some benefit to bread. Now, there's some downside to eating too much bread, isn't there? But eventually that leaven becomes something that will feed and to nourish. And think about this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. See, that leaven we sow, that gospel we sow, helps to bring people to Jesus, who is the bread of life. What we do is benefit for others. The sowing of the seed, the reaching out of the gospel. They may not see it at the time. You may not realize it in this life even. But knowing Jesus, partaking of Jesus, and the life that he has to offer is the biggest benefit you're ever going to find. But if there's one thing, if there's one thing that we take away from today's message, it is this. The size of the church isn't important. The size of the budget isn't important. The number of people. Because see, God doesn't look at any of that. God takes something little and multiplies it and grows it. To where it reaches a world that needs to hear it. To where it transforms lives. And I mean transforms. That's what the gospel does. The gospel doesn't just make you feel better. The gospel transforms you into something drastically different. Be encouraged. God can do a lot with a little. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you have come, that you use us as only you can. Jesus, I pray that you take whatever we have, whatever we can give, and you just multiply it, God. That you let it grow and let it grow. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.